Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome live from Richmond, Virginia, to the new expanded version of What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We help you be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We want to help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net. Take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Listen to this and previous shows that are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wondered what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are there available just for you. If we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope. Download the app from the Apple Store or Windows Android Play Store and follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get notifications when we're live on the air. Today, we will continue our series in the book of John, and I'm excited about what God is going to tell us today. If you would like to be part of this conversation this morning, give us a call at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, and you can listen or chat with us online. It is always my pleasure to introduce my co-host, Godfrey Kasiri. And I hope that all is well with you today, sir. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay, brother. I'm doing good. So how are you doing?
Doing very well. Pastor Godfrey Kasiri is the pastor of God's Kingdom and Ham Ministries in Chesterville, Virginia. You want to tell us a little bit about what's going on in your ministry, sir?
Yes, sir. We are continuing to meet every Sunday from 3 to 5 in the evening. We are meeting on Hall Street, as you stated it, on the address is 3076, which is on Hall Street. Everyone is welcome. Come break the word with us. We've been continuing, the Lord has graced us to continue to the series of God's kingdom, and that's where we've been enjoying the word, brother, every Sunday.
Amen. Well, I know that y'all are having a good time over there. So, folks, I hope you will avail yourself of that. Again, that address is what on Hall Street?
It's 3076.
3076 Hall Street Road. Right there just before you get to Broad Rock, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Exactly. Before you get to Broad Rock.
Amen. Well, I think we're really excited about what's going on today. We have an expanded version of our show. We're going to be on for an hour today, and so that's going to be kind of interesting because most of the time we've only been able to be on for 30 minutes. But thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost and a blessing of a friend of ours. He has made it possible for us to expand our broadcast to an hour. So, Pastor, I think we're in John chapter 13. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir. We are beginning with chapter 13.
Okay, so let's go ahead and would you do the honors and pray this morning, and then we'll get cranked up.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you. We want to thank you as we come into your presence, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives and in this particular hour, Lord, and in the ministry, Lord God. Thank you for the expansion to 1 hour, Lord God. We know there is a reason why you've done this, that as our listeners are getting fed in the word, Lord God, that you begin to transform their lives, Father. We thank you as we break this bread of life, Lord God. We know the entrance of your word brings light. Continue to bring light, Lord God. And you promise that the path of the righteous, Lord, grows brighter each and every day. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this privilege, Lord God, of serving you. Holy Spirit, continue to do marvelous works. Perform miracles in the lives of our listeners. We thank you for this wonderful time of breaking the word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Well, we certainly do appreciate that prayer, Pastor, and we take that to heart. Morning, again, we're going to start in John chapter 13. Now, let me set this up a little bit. Jesus is preparing to be crucified. He's getting to that point where it's just about that time, and we've seen him stand up in the synagogue and preach. We've seen him do miracles. We've seen people that witnessed what he had done, and they believed in him, but they weren't willing to make that commitment because they were afraid and intimidated by the Jews and the scribes and the Pharisees. And so that kind of relates to where we're at today. There's a lot of people that believe in God or believe that there is a God, but they don't know God because they don't have a relationship with him through the Holy Spirit. And so today we want to start here in chapter 13, and I think you're going to find some things here that are very, very, very interesting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, John chapter 13, verse 1 starts off with, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour had come that he should depart from this world, the Father, having loved his own whom were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now that's very important for us to remember because a lot of people believe that we're getting towards the end. I personally don't believe that. I think there's still a lot more that needs to be done. But nevertheless, once you're loved by God, it's an attachment that won't go away. He's not going to stop loving you. It doesn't matter, you know, what you do and how you act, because that's all part of your training, if you will. And when you go was it Romans chapter 12, where you need to renew your mind by the washing of the water of the word, all of that can be taken care of. And we've decided and sort of beat that horse to death that we need to change our mind. If we can change our mind, then our behavior will soon follow. Hallelujah. And so he says right here, he says the ones that he loved them all the way to the end. And that's a beautiful thing. And I think that you're going to see that throughout this. If you read the Bible with your heart and not your head, you'll see that even though God is a God of righteous judgment and of righteous anger, he never, ever, ever does anything to hurt his people. It's always a matter of protecting his people because he loves us. And to think that no matter, you know, where we are and what we're involved in, that God loves us is just kind of a bizarre thought. And I can understand why people sometimes have a problem with that. But I'm telling you, and Pastor, I'm sure you can confirm that there is absolutely no question about how much God loves us. So glory be to God.
Exactly. Amen.
All right, let's see. Verse 2. And supper being ended in the devil already put him into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. When he came to Simon Peter,
Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you do not understand, but you will soon after this. Glory be to God. Go ahead and expand on that a little bit, Pastor.
Brother, I was intrigued as you are reading the very first verse. I was reminded of this scripture, which is in 1 Corinthians, and our listeners can write it down. They will read it after. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, where it says that Christ is our Passover. I can't imagine that he, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, he went to this feast, but he knew in himself that he is the bread of life. He is the Passover, as we see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I know our listeners will read it. Let me just read a little bit of it. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lamb, as ye are unleavened. This is the core verse, the core part that I wanted. For even Christ is our Passover, is sanctified for us. Now, as we are beginning this, I like how you've laid it down. Now, we are looking at Christ himself. He's looking at this feast, he's thinking about it, and is. I know in Matthew it says that he sent the disciples to make preparation, but he himself he knew that I am the Passover as it's going to be celebrated. I'm the one who has come to redeem. That love, like you said, it's that love that compelled him to go to the cross, to face all the pain, the suffering, the persecution, just for us. And here now we go to last portion that you've read. Of course, we come to verse where it says supper is ended, and the devil now had put it into the heart of Judah Iscariot, Simon's son. And brother, I was thinking of that very name, Simon, because this is Judas, and he's the son of Simon. We know that every portion of scripture, even if it's a full stop, it means something. I went back and I was looking at Genesis chapter 29, verse 3. Now, listeners can note down these scriptures, they'll read them thereafter, because we're building up something which is very interesting. Now, in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 3, this is where we see Leah, that is one of the wives of Jacob, and is having a second born son, and the second born son is called Simon. I was think about it, brother, that name means caring, because Leah was saying, well, the Lord has heard me. So it means fearing. In Hebrew, it means fearing. And I was wondering, I said, now, should it be that Judas here, Iscariot, must have been trained by the father? Because the word hearing, the name hearing, must have been given to the father, knowing that he'll be able to hear from the Lord that, you know what, Judas Iscariot, you got to be very, very careful. There is something that might come, in between you and the Lord of Lords as you're going to that Passover. And brother, it is so intriguing. I'll move forward anyway. And I came to verse 3, and again, I considered this, that Jesus Christ now has had the Passover or the supper, right? And he's preparing the disciples for something more. And I look back, I say, you know what? He himself knew that, as Hebrews says, he's the high priest of our confession. And then here we go that he's getting the disciples ready for this time and is washing their feet. And our listeners, I know, can write down these scriptures. If you look at Exodus, let's look at it briefly. Exodus chapter, I believe it's chapter 30, verses 17 to 21. I'll read briefly so we can get the background. Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 to 21. This is what it says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, and wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein for Aaron. Now, he was a high priest then. For Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. Verse 20, it says, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. The last verse, 21. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed, throughout all generations. Now, we mark that. Now, I like how you put it. Now, I said, what the Lord was doing was reminding these disciples that, of course, as Hebrews says, he's the high priest. And the Bible says that he has made us priests and kings unto our God. Now, should it be, I'm just wondering, that Jesus was remembering what was given in the Old Testament that should be done for all generations and is preparing the disciples, because we know that the real tabernacle, the place where God dwells, the place of worship is in heaven. So Moses had just a copy of it. And so here Jesus is preparing them to go into the presence of the Lord. You know, this is in the spirit realm. And what does all that mean? I'll conclude with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Our listeners and readers of the word can follow it. It says, by the washing of the water of the word. For us now, what we have and what we're doing right now, I believe when we come to have this water in the basin, of course it was called brazen lava. This is where they were to wash their feet and their hands. Brother, I'm saying, shouldn't it be the same thing here? As we come into the word washes us, as Ephesians 5:26 says. It washes us and prepares us to go into the presence, into the dwelling place of our God. So that is the background that I was looking at while considering this portion of Scripture, brother.
Wow.
That's a thought.
You caused me to have about three different questions.
Yes.
a wide gambit of focus on what you said. I want to make sure that I understood what you said. You said that Judas had heard the voice of the devil, essentially, and had entertained that voice on the way to the Passover supper.
Right.
So this seed that had been planted in him came from hearing. And so, you know, we ask all the time, how do you get faith? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So is it possible that we could be led astray by hearing something other than the voice of God?
Oh, brother, that's the problem. Yes.
So we need to make sure that we know who we're listening to. This is one of the most important things that Christians today need to address is, what are you listening to?
Exactly. Brother, you are nailing it on the head. What are you listening to?
And
this is where I believe God gives us an opportunity to have a place and an hour like this, whereby, it's the word that is going forth to our listeners.
Wow. I mean, that just really, really struck me that here's one of God's chosen people. I mean, let's face it, Judas was not selected randomly. Jesus went up on the mountain and prayed all night long to determine who he was going to select to be his disciples. So here is a man that has been chosen. Now, we understand that he was chosen to fulfill the prophecy of the one that would betray Jesus. But nevertheless,
here you have a man of God who is going to the supper and mm-hmm. entertains a voice other than the Holy Spirit. Now they didn't have the Holy Spirit, okay? Mm-hmm. They witnessed the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit came upon people, but it didn't mm-hmm. dwell on the inside of them. So it makes mm-hmm. it makes it even more imperative for us to make sure that our ears are tuned to that still small voice, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And
that's
therefore,
right.
we will eliminate the opportunity to hear or to take up strange fire, for example. Okay?
Exactly.
The Bible talks about strange fire. And to make sure that we're not, you know, we're not doing things and entertaining thoughts that would try to exalt themselves against the Word of God. That was the first thing.
That's right.
The next thing that you said that just really, really, really intrigued me was the fact that in the Old Testament, in the Levitical priesthood, they went through the same sort of ritual, if you will.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in any disrespect, because they were being obedient to God. In fact, in the Old Testament, the only people that could do this were the Levitical priests. Nobody else could do it. Because
right.
if you tried to do it, you'd probably end up dead. And even
exactly.
some of the Levitical priests, they tied a rope around their ankle and had bells on it, so that, mm-hmm. that if the bells started or stopped ringing, they started pulling, because whoever was in there was probably burnt up. Okay,
that's true. Mm-hmm.
But the point that you brought up about this being a not necessarily a continuance of an Old Testament
right
tradition, but mm-hmm. but could it have been the end of that tradition?
Mm-hmm.
Could this have been the final time that physically we needed to wash our feet and our hands? Because now, you know, you just talked about the fact that we have to have, you know, the washing of the water of the Word. So
mm-hmm.
And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's impossible
right.
to please God without faith. So therefore, you have to have the word of God in your ears in order to be able to make God happy. And there's a lot of Christians out here that have no desire, no concern at all about making God happy. The only thing they're interested in is themselves.
Come on.
So we've got time, and that's a bad thing, because we may not even still get past six or seven verses. I don't care.
It's good.
But is it possible that this was the conclusion of that ceremony, because he knew what was coming next? And he tells them right there, he says, look, you don't understand what's going on, but you will.
Exactly.
And the eyes of their understanding would not be enlightened until Jesus was crucified, resurrected, poured out his blood on the altar, and God said, it is finished. And then 50 mm-hmm. days later, the Holy Spirit shows up. And then they started remembering these things, because the Bible says we have the mind of Christ and he brings all things to our remembrance. Well, that's done through the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And the only way that can be done is through the washing of the water of the Word, and the Word mm-hmm. goes into your ears, and the Word builds up faith, and then again, mm-hmm. without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Exactly.
How did we get all of this out of four verses here? This is just unbelievable.
Brother, it's so interesting, and I like the presentation that you brought, and that's a question we are throwing to our listeners. This is how it's so good to learn to divide the Word. You know, I'm looking at how you've stated it, that couldn't it be that this was the end? Jesus was bringing this ritual to the end. And as you are mentioning that, brother, I remember, and I now listen as we continue to follow these scriptures. In Matthew, the Bible says that the curtain in the old dwelling place or tabernacle or place of dwelling, the curtain was torn into two. In other words, Jesus is now telling us that this old ritual has ended. This is something new that I'm presenting.
Yep.
I like how you put it, brother. And this is where we find all this mess going on, and some people think, and I'm not against it. I mean, if somebody has received the revelation, that's all right. You can physically wash the feet. But we need to understand what is the spiritual implication or truth behind it. It's the washing of the water by the word, because we need that washing, brother.
Amen. I think we hit on something here. This was... You know, if you look at it, this is just like God. This really wasn't the end; it was the beginning. Because again, like you said, when he was on the cross, you know, the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. See, which simulates, look, you don't need to any longer go into the Holy of Holies. You can live. Oh, come on now, brother, with the Holy Spirit in your life, you can live in the Holy of Holies.
Yes, brother. And this is something else that is coming to my state, brother. Now, you remember, we know it very well because that's where we start. In Genesis, man was created from the dust, right?
Right.
Reason being, now, dust, of course, will always cling onto you. You may have washed so well. I know you see more of the makeshift bathrooms in Africa. You might be a few meters away from the house. You've taken a good shower. And as you walk from the makeshift bathroom back to the house, you're going to get some dirt on. And I believe that is spiritually a lesson we learn there, that the works of the flesh sometimes can come clinging onto you. So we need the washing of this word to wash off that dust, that flesh, because sometimes it tries to cling on.
And, you know, if you go I know this, you probably don't know this, but I know this from experience, that if you go for a period of time and you have not had that washing of the water of the word, you begin to feel dirty.
Yes.
You begin to recognize the filth that is your life.
That's right.
Attachments that try to attach themselves to you. And that's why... That's one of the reasons why I like doing this radio show on Tuesdays, because I'm telling you one thing, there ain't nothing to get through this.
Hallelujah, brother.
this is live on the air for the world to hear, you know. So you gotta have all your stuff in one sock. So glory be to God. All right, let's go on just a little bit further, because I think what's going to happen here is going to be kind of interesting. Peter said to him, he said, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "Look, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." Glory be to God. But then Peter, because we know Peter is very zealous, okay? And he really is a good guy, okay? Mm. His heart's in the right place, but sometimes his head is stuck up his rear end, okay?
That's right.
So then he says, "Well, if you're gonna do my feet, then go ahead and do my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is complete." "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. That is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, 'You are not all clean.'"
Now, you can take that when you look at the grammatical context of that statement, okay? You can see a point of agreement with what Peter said, but the actual meaning was a point of disagreement with what Peter said. Okay?
Right.
The point of agreement is, yes, if you wash your feet, then the rest of you is not necessarily all clean. And so that's what Peter was saying. So, "Well, if you're going to wash my feet, then wash the rest of it." And Jesus said, "No, you only need to wash your feet, because if you do that, then that's going to make you clean. However, not all of you that I have washed their feet are going to be clean." Okay?
That's right.
And he was prophesying Judas's betrayal, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And that had to happen so that prophecy could be fulfilled. I think it's very interesting. I've been in several services where people have done foot washing services, And they're very nice. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want anybody to mess with my feet because my feet are nasty. But
right.
I've been in those services, and they are very nice. But my question is, you know, what is the real point of what you're doing?
Exactly.
Is this something symbolic, or is there really a heartfelt desire to do this? And so I think that again, God judges the intent of the heart, so we have to be cautious about that. Go ahead and expand on that a little bit.
Exactly. And, brother, I'm looking. I know we'll be getting to that. When you look at John chapter 15 and verse 3, we'll just sit on that for now. It says, "Now ye are clean," or "you are clean, through the word which I have spoken to you." Now, Jesus is still emphasizing here the same thing, that it's the word that brings the washing. So, in other words, we can, like you're saying, I'm not against it. If somebody has received the revelation, praise God, you can do the physical washing. But does it have is it symbolic, or does it have a spiritual meaning? Or do you explain it to the people that the most important thing here is the washing of the word? Because Jesus emphasized it again here in verse 3 of chapter 15 of John. I know we'll be seeing it. So, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken to you."
Wow.
So that's the importance of the word.
Now here's something else to add on to that too. You know, is these guys are live and in color with Jesus, with the Son of God. The Son of God has come to earth and has spent, you know, roughly 3.5 years, because that's about how long his ministry was, spent about 3.5 years with Jesus. They've been in the presence of the Son of God, but they had no real clue of what he was talking about. Look at the advantage that we have today with 100 different translations and Greek and Hebrew, Aramaic dictionaries and encyclopedias and all of this stuff that and the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the most important part. None of this is really going to make any sense unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, unless you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Exactly.
And so look at the advantage that we have. This is one of the things that I want to encourage our listeners. When you read the Bible, don't read it just as a book. Don't read it as a chore. If you're going to do that, just shut it. Don't even waste your time. But you need to read the word as if you're having a conversation with God. Oh, my goodness. Because that is the importance of what he's saying here. The whole Bible, we've talked about this before, is God's testimony.
That's right.
See, and it proves, it validates and verifies that he is who he said he is, that he's done what he said he was going to do, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And so when we read the Bible needs to be a very intimate part of our life, but we need to read it as if we're speaking with God, because literally we are.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, brother.
Glory to God. Sounds like time for a Sunday. Hallelujah!
that is so good. Brother, I wanted to read that verse that you read, verse 11 of chapter 13, together with chapter 15, verse 3. Now, let me read it. It will make much sense. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. Now let's read verse 3 of 15. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Now, could it be, as we look at verse 2 of chapter 13, where he says, now supper being ended, and the devil having put into Judas Iscariot's heart. So what did the devil put in him? It has to be he put in him a word to betray Jesus. Could it be that he was unclean because he did not receive the word that Jesus spoke?
Wow, that's powerful. Yeah, because the word says, and I can't remember where it's at right now, but it says, if you believe the word, you will see the glory of God.
Yeah.
And that's all about, you know, you have to believe it in order to receive it. And when
that's
you
right.
believe it, then you'll receive it. And when you receive it, then you'll be able to see it. And people say, I want to see it before I'll believe it. Well, if you saw it, you still wouldn't receive it, so therefore you wouldn't believe it.
That's right.
a little play on words there. You know what I mean?
Yes, brother.
Mm. Wow, this is getting gooder and gooder. All right, let's go to verse.
Yes.
Let's see, we are in verse 12.
Yeah.
So when he had washed their feet, taking his garment and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, then you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than the master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them."
Now, I want to say this. This is the third thing I saw when you were speaking earlier, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a message to the church.
Right.
If you are truly saved, born again, and filled with the Spirit of God, and you have the call of God on your life, the Bible says many are called, few are chosen, because
right.
few choose to accept the call. The
mm-hmm.
call will never be for self-elevation.
No.
Okay? The call is always to servitude.
That's right.
And so what this says, if we take this literally and understand what he's saying there, is number one, you're never going to be better than your creator. Number
right.
two, if you want to serve me, if you want to serve God, then you have to serve each other. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay.
Exactly. Mm.
And if you're going to do that, then it's not going to be about you. It's going to always be about somebody else. Go ahead and take off with that.
Brother, I believe that is very true. And I'm looking at verse 17, and adding on to what you're saying on the servant should have. Now, Jesus says that if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And, of course, we know he was talking about servanthood. Now, could it be that the reason why so many people are not happy is because they are not doing the serving? In other words, it's all about me. It's concerning me. It should be about me, whereby we begin even to get into, I believe, a spirit of complaining, so to speak. I mean, it's like, I know you know the games more than I do, when you consider football. Sometimes if you're not in the field, whatever game you're talking about, it's hard to know how somebody would have reacted as to play successfully or winning. But when you get into the game, you find that, oh, it's not easy. Oh, let's say talk about car racing. You'd have said, man, why did you get off the track? You should have stayed. And, you know, the man tried as he could, but I'm bringing that to draw an example that it's until you get into the service that you get to enjoy, you'll be happy, you'll never complain.
Yeah, you're right about that. If you're not there and not doing it, then it's hard to it's hard to understand what really goes on. I mean, it's just like you mentioned auto racing, and you know I'm a NASCAR fan.
Well,
I know that was a me, so and I appreciate that.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, you know, it looks easy until you get behind the wheel and try to drive 180 miles an hour around the circle track.
It's
not easy at all. And so you look at these people that do this, and it amazes me at the number of people that are Monday morning quarterbacks that want to tell them, well, they should have done this and should have done that. Well, I'll tell you
right.
what, you get behind, you get into a car, drive 180 miles an hour with 6 inches between you and the car on one side,
and 6 inches right. between the car in front, and 6 inches
Correct.
Between the car in the back, and then you tell me what you should have done. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Come on.
it's just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, this is good stuff, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of life lessons just in this little bit that we've talked about today.
Yes, it is.
One of the things about serving your fellow man, you know, and you know, I've preached this in Africa and everywhere I go about the fivefold ministry. You know, if you're called to be an apostle, a prophet, a evangelist, a teacher, a pastor, that's a calling that you can't ask for that yourself. That has to be a calling from God.
Mm-hmm.
God has to call you, and if He tells you that's what He wants you to do, then you will know it. Believe me, because there is a large preparation time that goes into answering those calls. We're talking about this in our church right now is about the gifts of the Spirit, because we want to develop those gifts in the members. Or the attendees, rather. We don't have members, but the attendees. We want to develop those gifts in them so that they can flow and that we can have our service be in unity, okay,
and
take advantage of all that the Holy Spirit has to offer. Now, in order to do that, it's going to take some training. And so we've been teaching a series on that. And I have a word that I have to deliver to the church next week about that in regards to these gifts and callings, because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, okay?
Exactly, yes.
Now, while you cannot request to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, teacher, or pastor, you can request to have these gifts bestowed upon you, okay? And as you taught in Africa, about the different, you know, the nine motivational gifts.
That's right.
If you ask for it, He'll give it to you, because He says you have not because you ask not. And
exactly,
when you ask amiss. So we've got to make sure that we're asking for the right thing. And so if God puts that unction in your heart that you need to be able to prophesy in the church or to speak in tongues, well, if you're going to speak in tongues, you need to learn how to interpret those tongues. And
that's
God,
right.
through the Holy Spirit, will let you do that. He will teach you how to do that. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
And so the purpose of those offices and the purpose of those gifts is to do what? Well, it's to serve the body of Christ.
Exactly.
And so it's nothing about, well, you're just a wonderful, you know, orator and a public speaker. And it has nothing to do with that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
That
unfortunately is where the church has gone to today, where it's nothing but a big talent show.
That's right.
is what it amounts to, you know, and that's not the way it should be. Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God.
Glory.
Let's move on. We're now in verse. Did you have anything else you want to add about that?
I wanted to see how your version puts. Because you are speaking on the very verse as you are laying this truth. Mark chapter 10 and verse, let's look at 43. I don't know how your version puts it, but mine says, "But so shall it be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister." I don't know how your version put it.
Oh, wow.
Mark chapter 10 and verse 43, because you are giving the word, but I was thinking of this scripture. Mark chapter 10 and verse 43.
Read that again.
He says, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister." In other words, Jesus was explaining it to them that if you want to be great, then you have to be a servant. You have to be ready to serve. And how often we get to miss it? Because I know at another gospel puts it like Jesus was asking them that, who is greater? Is it the one that sits at the table or the one who serves? And he says, I'm the one who serves. In other words, he was saying, you who are seated on the table, you are greater than me because I've chosen to be a servant.
Wow.
And I believe this is what we looked at in the previous verses of chapter 13, in that this very act that Jesus did, it was also explaining how we can put on the garment of humility, how we can humble ourselves, because it was always the least servant in the house that was called to wash the guest's feet. And we know then, according to the Bible history, you know, there were no cars, so you would use donkeys or animals, and those animals would be depositing in the road. And as you would, you know, go through this caravan, your feet are going to be messed up with this dirt, not only with the dust, but also with animals' deposits. So the lowest servant, the least servant, would always be ready with a basin to wash the feet so you can come in the house. And I believe this is why Jesus has much lesson for us today. That this is how we are to be great. You want to be great? Choose to serve.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. And that's a concept, you know, that people talk about today. About servitude as slavery. Now, we're not talking about slavery.
No.
We're talking about humbling yourselves and serving your fellow man.
Exactly.
That's one of the – I have a lot of people that come in and counsel with me, and I tell them up front, look, this is not about me. This is about you and God.
Yes.
And the only thing I can – like, if I have a couple of people that have marriage problems. And I tell them, I said, look, you know, this is not an 8-week class. You don't get a certificate at the end that says, praise God, you're going to have a wonderful marriage. But if you want to have a wonderful marriage, then you need to listen to what I'm telling you, because what I'm telling you is nothing more than what the Word says. And,
right.
And I guarantee you, in 99%, I'm going to even, well, 99%, we'll leave a 1% for error. But 99% of the time, people who go for counseling, the root of the problem is a word problem. It has nothing to do with behavior, circumstances, situations, and all of that foolishness. I can just about guarantee you they're not reading their word and they're not serving their fellow man.
Exactly. Amen.
Whew. Lord, have mercy. When the anointing comes on you, brother, it gets hot in this house.
Brother, it does. And I'm excited to what you're saying, because with the last verse you read, it says, happy are ye when you do these things. In other words, if you don't do the word, you don't do what the word says, you are not going to be happy, and the marriage is not going to be a success.
Yeah, he says, my translation, New King James, says blessed. So, and we know that's if you look at the Amplified, it says blessed, happy, and prosperous.
Exactly.
So it says if you know these things, and when he talks about knowing, he's talking about doing, okay?
Yes.
The Bible says if you know the truth will set you free, but that's not exactly what it means. It means if you do the truth and do the truth and do the truth, do the truth and do the truth and do the truth, one day you'll experience the truth, and once you experience the truth, then the truth will set you free. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So, yeah, these blessed, happy, and prosperous are you if you do them. So, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to
God.
Praise God. We got a few more minutes. I can't believe it, but it's we've only got, 12 minutes left.
Wow. Wow.
If we expand this to 2 hours, we might get 7 verses done. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I can see.
Wow.
Amen.
This is amazing. But isn't it nicer not to have to rush like we've been doing before? This is just wonderful.
Oh yes, brother. Yes.
Let's go to verse
18.
I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So here's another statement, if you will, about him and the Father being one. Okay,
that's
and
right.
He's saying, look, saying he was talking about Judas here, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there that are coming against you that do not want you to be successful. They're there to betray you.
They're there to kill you. They want to steal from you. And so the only way, again, that you can really fight that fight is by washing of the water of the Word. And so
that's
how we renew ourselves and keep ourselves refreshed. I'm telling you, man, there's nothing like taking a hot shower.
Right. Nothing can be compared to it.
I mean, I remember Uganda 2 years ago. I was so happy to get home and take a hot shower. It was unbelievable.
Yes. But you can imagine that is the same analogy when it comes to take a hot shower in the Word, brother.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, that's the ticket right there. Yeah.
It's
getting that full body shower of the Word. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
All right, verse 21, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, and we talked about John there. Simon Peter, therefore, motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. And then, leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. And then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought because Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're not going to be able to finish this today, which is nothing unusual for us.
That's right.
Well, we've only got about 8 minutes left, but go ahead and tell us a little bit about this then.
Brother, I'm looking at verse 27, and it says, and after the soft Satan entered into him, but then when you come back to verse 2, it says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. In other words, it was already going on. Something had already started on in verse 2. But then it was concluded or finalized as they had Jesus gave a piece of bread to Judas. Because it says, and after the supper, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. I'm wondering, I say, now, should it be the same experience as we see it when Paul received the revelation? Because he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for I received it from the Lord. Now, he begins to share about the breaking of bread. Of course, that's Holy Communion. Could it be that's why he says that some are weak and others sleep? In other words, we get into certain habits that we neglect the word and we allow the enemy, as we saw it in chapter 13, verse 2, that it seems Judas was playing with it in his heart for a long while, neglecting the word, neglecting to hear what the Lord is saying, that finally then he comes to the table, and once he received the bread, that was it. Satan entered into him.
Well, didn't we establish the fact that he had heard a strange voice on the way to the ceremony, on the way to supper?
Come on. Yeah, that's right.
So what this is indicative of, and this is always the truth, is that sin is always end-loaded. You never see the consequences of it until the end.
That's right.
And then, you know, the wages of sin obviously is death. But here's the thing we have to understand. You know, the devil is more subtle than any beast in the field. He is sly. He's conniving. And you have to constantly be on guard. Now, I'm not talking about, I know these people talk about spiritual warfare and all that kind of stuff.
You know, you don't have to stand here with your sword in your hand and be ready to fight the devil when he walks in the door. You know,
no.
The devil doesn't come into my house. I told him to stay out, you know, so he doesn't come into my house. And I got angels encamped around my property, so I'm not worried about that at all.
That's right.
So by having that, it gives me the peace to be able to sit here and read and study, knowing that I'm washing myself in the water of the Word. But once you walk out the door, okay, then he comes immediately to steal, kill, and destroy. And so you might as well be aware of that and be prepared for that so that you can love the Lord, resist the devil, and what does he have to do? He has to flee, okay? So what we see here is that this was not, you know, he had already committed the sin long before he actually committed the sin.
Right.
He committed the sin in his mind, and that's how the devil does. He plants that seed, and if you entertain it, then it's the same thing as going ahead and doing it. It's just like he told the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, y'all are hypocrites. Talk about the fact that you don't sleep with your neighbor's wife, but you look at them with lust in your heart. It's the same thing.
That's
why we have to be careful about the thoughts that we have, and we can fix that by renewing our mind by the washing of the water of the Word. Hallelujah.
Yes. Get back to the same thing, brother.
I think if we have any main theme message today, that's it, that you've got to wash yourself with the water of the Word.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's the only way to stay clean.
That's very true. And that's the word that we leave our listeners with, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, by the washing, because it says, that he may sanctify it and cleanse it. Of course, talking about the church, and we are the church. We are the body of Christ. He may cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word.
I'm going to tell you one thing, man. That's just powerful stuff. Powerful teaching today. I hope you folks got that. And we want to thank you for joining us today. And we really appreciate your participation. This show will be available a little bit later today at www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2. And we'll also have it on our website at www.dmcministries.net. Join us with our conversation on our blog at dmcministries.wordpress.com. And we look forward to your comments. If you'd like me or Pastor Godfrey to speak at your church or other organization, or for any other needs you may have, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. Our next show will be next Tuesday at 10 a.m. And Pastor, you want to give us a prayer before we go?
Yes, brother. Father, we just want to thank you for the word we've had today. We pray that our listeners, as they will continue to listen to this word online, wash them, wash us, O God, and let us continually desire the washing of this word, Lord God. And may you bring healing to the listeners, Father. Those that are listening right now live and that will be listening online, let healing flow to them as the word is washing them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Well, listen, brother, I appreciate your time today. I hope you enjoyed yourself. We love you and appreciate you and your wife and son so much. And thank you for your commitment to this enterprise. And if there's anything we can ever do to help you, all you got to do is give us a holler. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Until next week, then, we want you to be blessed and let the Spirit reign.